Well, we're glad to have you. Our third week in our Tell the World series. I'm going to get right into this. So I want you to grab your message notes and having an awesome time with this series. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we have been in this series knowing that, and if you don't know, this scripture has been our theme verse for the entirety of this series that we do it. And, you know, Jerusalem representing Fort Wayne, it represents, I will even say it this way, represents people that are close to you. People that you and I are called to impact and share the love of God with. Our Judea and Samaria are people that we may not know as well, but we're called to yet still make an impact and share the hope and the love of Jesus with them, and obviously then taking it into the world. I want you to find some margin this morning on your message notes, and I'd like everybody to participate with me, if you would, this morning by doing this. And on there, just somewhere on the front, write this down, if you would, for me. Pray for back to school bash. Amen. All right. Pray for the back to school bash. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And if you don't know, it is one of the staples of our church. It's a big part of who we are and what we do. I'm so thankful for you guys and just your generosity, your faithfulness, and that we get to serve over 600 kids in just a few weeks, and expecting to impact around 1,000 people that will be down in the inner city of Fort Wayne. And I'm just so happy and excited, because we not only get to serve and make a difference and give backpacks away and feed these kids and families, but we also get to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show the love of God. Last year, we saw nearly 100 people give their hearts to Jesus at this. Come on, I think that's awesome. And so we're believing for more this year, for God to just continue to move at it. So if you have not signed up, we had our signups last week. We're going to give you the opportunity again today. I'm going to give you some details at the end of the service, how you can get involved. And look at the person next to you. We're doing a lot of interaction today, if you can't tell. Just look at them and say, "We need you. Come on, we need you. We need you. We need your help down there." We'll get you a free t-shirt, your serve shirt, going to hook you up. Be a part of what God is doing. I don't think you are closer to doing the will of God than when you are making a difference in the life of somebody else. I think when we have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, I'm telling you, it moves the heart of God. It attracts him. And so I'm so proud of you guys and our church. And so today I wanted to just talk to you on this Sunday in this series about the call to action. Because if there's anything that we have dreamed about with our church, even right here in the middle of summer, it's that we are called to be a church and a people of action. Can you say a good amen? And so that's our responsibility, is to be that. And so I've got a couple statements that I'm going to ask the team to go ahead and throw up there. It's in your notes. I put it in there this week. First of all, that vision without action is merely a dream. I think a lot of times what happens with people is they have great vision, but they never have any action to their vision. And sometimes even us churches can be real guilty of this, that we can have great vision and cast it and talk about it, but never really do anything. And so then action without vision is just wasting time. I've preached in different churches across the country, and I've looked in bulletins, and man, they got like 70 things going on, but nobody knows where they're going. There's like 50 things happening, but there's really no vision with it. So that's why the Bible says without vision, people perish. And so that's why we need vision for our life. We need vision for our church. How many know we need to know where we're going and what we're doing? And so what happens is a lot of times we don't understand our why. And we know our what, but we don't understand our why. And if you lose your why, then you don't understand the purpose and why you're living. And so we know our why as a church, and why we do what we do, is to reach people that are far from God, to see people come into a relationship with him, to see them discipled, to see them go through the growth track, to see them plugged into small groups, and then living out their purpose, living out their dream, living out their calling. Come on, living out the giftings and the talents and the abilities that God has, and then and touching the lives of many people. Everybody shout action. But it says vision with action can change your life. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I truly believe that if you will put action to your words and walk this out, not just one day a week, but live a life that's fulfilling to God, you'll watch your world be changed from the inside out and see God do some amazing things. And I don't think there's anything personally more exciting, more exhilarating, more vibrant than living out the call of God and pursuing that which he has us to do in the earth. And I don't know about you, but I'm so desperate for God to do more than what I've seen. How many just are in a place in your life that you say, I'm not comfortable, I desire and I'm desperate to see God do more than I've ever seen? And I pray that every one of us in this church has that kind of desire in our heart, that we just don't sit back and allow the world to go to hell in a handbasket, but we make a decision that we're going to be a part of the answer in seeing God move in the world today. Can you say an amen? And so that's our passion. Y'all know my heart. When we get on subjects like this, Pastor Kyle just gets excited. All right? James chapter 2. And we're going to kind of hang out in the book of James today. I want to start right here in verse 14. It says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, then what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do.'" Wait a minute. James is saying faith without action is dead. Faith without works, faith without deeds is dead. As we know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, and if you don't know, he says that it is by grace, it is by faith through grace that we have been saved. And so he said this that to make us to have this kind of understanding that it's not by our own effort that we receive salvation. I'm so thankful that when Jesus came, that the gift of salvation is free. Everybody say it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to earn your way. It's all about a personal relationship with God. And the Bible is very clear on that. But today I want to talk to you specifically on taking action, walking out your faith on a daily basis. Verse 19 says this, that you believe that there is one God. Good. Everybody say, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The Bible even says, even the demons understand that there's one God. You foolish man, do you not want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? And you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. I think it's cool that God calls us his friend. I think it's awesome to be known that we are known as friends of God, to have that kind of personal relationship and touch. Abraham really gives us a perfect example, I think, of what taking action looks like as in a radical pursuit. Not only did he claim and understand who his God was, but he really made the ultimate extreme action when God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Bible records that it even was at the place where he held the knife over his son, ready to sacrifice his son, doing what God had called him to do, when all of a sudden, the last minute, God says, whoa, no, I don't want you to do that. But faith without works, if you're following along in our notes today, I want you to jot this down with me. Faith without works, first of all, is talk with no walk. I don't know about you, but I sure desire to be in a place in my life where my action and the way I live my life matches what I live and what I say. I hope that's your conviction. I hope that you're in a place within your life that what you say is who you are and you walk that out and live that out. The parable of the two sons here is the story that comes out of Matthew chapter 21, and it says that, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. And it was asked which of the two did what his father wanted. 'The first,' they answered." The father was not interested, nor is our father interested in just lip service. Blessed are those who are doers and not just hearers only, James chapter 1 tells us. that God is looking for his people to be a people that are about action, that are a people about demonstrating the love of God. And there are many ways, gang, that we can do that. And I think what excites me about what God is doing in our church is that we see different ways that God is showing love. And so God is interested in action, just like you notice here in this the story of the two sons of the parables here, interested in action, not in just saying you're going to do something and you don't follow through. How many know it is disappointing, it is aggravating, it is gut-wrenching, it is like want to pull your hair out of your head when people tell you you're going to do something, they don't do it. Oh, I'm preaching good right there. Oh, it's frustrating. Oh, my goodness. And so God is saying, I desire for my people who call on me to not just worship me on a Sunday, but to live out the life that I have for you the rest of the week too. By your heart, by your attitude, by your words, the way that you live, the way that you serve people. Helen Keller, man, she was an all-star. Love, 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 and thank God for her. She said this, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Come on, everybody shout, I can do something. And because, look at what she said, I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. So I truly believe every one of us in this place, we're a 10 in something, that we're good at something, and we've got to be able to tap into what God is wanting from us and be faithful stewards. And listen, if you're breathing air today, it's because God still has a purpose for your life. God hasn't given up on you. He's not quit on you. You're still living. You're still breathing. There's still a purpose and a destiny for you to walk this thing out and impact the life of somebody else. Faith without works is belief with no relationship. I love how as we look in the book of James, that James challenged the people who said, I have faith and others have works. He noted even the fact that I think it's interesting that even demons believe in God. They recognize who he is. And can I just tell you, God wants a lot more for our relationship with him than just understanding that he's real. He wants a relationship, and he wants it to be active. He wants it to be alive. And I'm thankful for a relationship with Jesus that when we come to him, that his best comes upon us. And I don't know about you, but I desire an active relationship with the Lord. Matthew 7 and beginning of verse 22, it said, Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Look what Jesus said here. He said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. What God wants more than anything else is to know you. Is to know you personally. He's a God that absolutely, unequivocally can relate to you. He's interested in every detail, every facet of your life. I promise you that. And his scripture is clear on that. But he wants to know you. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to talk with him. The Bible says that he's a jealous God. When's the last time maybe you've spent time with God? When's the last time you've prayed? When's the last time that you've just taken some time through your week and just declared he's good? When's the last time that you've maybe just taken an opportunity and just thanked him for all that you have? I think sometimes, everybody, we get so focused on what we don't have that we forget about what we do have. And I think that we need to be a people so full of humility that realizes and thanks God for what we do have. Amen, everybody? Faith without works, jot this down, is faith with no action. Acts 26:20. Tells us, it says this, that I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove, I like that, their repentance by their deeds. There's far more to Christianity than just showing up to church on Sunday. There's a lot more to this journey than just coming here, doing church, and then calling it a day and a week. That's not the God. If that's your picture of God, you have a wrong picture of who he is. You need to understand that he's a God who wants and desires to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wants to be with you every single day and is waiting for you to talk to him. It's a relationship. Everybody say it's a relationship. I like how 1 Corinthians 4:20, this is not in your notes. I just put this in there. If you want to reference it on your notes, you can write it down. But it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. I like that. Because I like that my God is all about demonstrating who he is and what he's about. that we don't serve a weak God. We serve a God full of strength and power. Can you say amen today? Proverbs 3, 27, 28 says, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Look at this. You need to underline this. If you got your iPad, your smartphone, whatever, just highlight it, do something. If you got your Bible open, your hand is God's hand for that person. I think it's so awesome. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Amen. I think it's a great life verse. I think you ought to live your life right there. You can hang on Proverbs chapter 3, 27 and 28. So we prove our relationship with God is real by our actions. That's how we demonstrate. It's how we know that our relationship with God is active. Here's what I know. I can be married to my beautiful wife, Bethany, and I could talk to her every day and tell her I love her and send her nice texts all the time, and I do those sorts of things. But the truth is, but if I never go home and I stay at other places all the time and I never wear my wedding ring and I never help with the kids and maybe never take her out to dinner and buy her some flowers from time and time again, how many know there's really nothing to prove that our marriage is real? Mm-hmm. That's, you can say, yeah, that's okay, yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I'm looking for your response there. Because I really do love my wife, I want to do all of those things. And I think that we have to have the same attitude and heart with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and understand that commitment. Come on, everybody. That kind of radical call and commitment to your relationship with Jesus. And we express our love to him by what we do. St. Francis said, go from here and preach the gospel, and use words if you must. Do you know that a lot of times people can tell who you are and what you're about just by living out your life, walking it out one day at a time? That's how you walk destiny out. It's walked out one day at a time. James chapter 2, I'm giving you some verses here this morning just to really just need to meditate on some of these things. And it says you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I know that one of the most significant turning points in my walk with God was at a young age when I was 15 years of age. And my youth pastor at the time, Pastor Matt Rice, who I actually got to spend some time with the other week, and I sure love him and thank God for him. Pastors a great church in Columbus, Ohio now. And I'll never forget when I came into our student ministry that he took me very quickly under his wing. I was 15 years of age, and he, thank God, recognized just the call and the passion on my life. And he began to take me on some road trips. I hung out with him a lot, but he believed in me. He helped me. He trained me. He discipled me. He took time with me. And one of the things he ended up doing is having me put over some of the students with him. So I got to help lead at a very young age our students. And then he asked me to lead our student worship team. And that was fun and that was awesome. But one of the greatest things that I valued from my time when he mentored me was truly being a man of God of action. And he taught me what it was to be just a man of words versus a man of action. And so I've had this place in my heart that I'm thankful for once. Aren't you thankful for people in your life that take the time to mentor you, to encourage you, to coach you, to lift you up, to give you some counsel along the way? Amen, everybody. For some of you, it may be a teacher, it may be a coach, it may be a friend, it may be a pastor, it may be a leader, I don't know. But I thank God for people like that are put in our life for a reason. And here's why we need to understand that we are the church. And because we are the church, we are called to a place of action. And again, our time is short on this earth. It's but a vapor. It's but a mist. It's here and it's gone. And I want to make sure that we're doing everything that God wants us to do and do it well. Amen, everybody? A call to action. Come on, I want to help you with this. What's that look like? Number one, if you're following along in your notes today, action stimulates accountability. Now, I'm going to spend some time with for the next few minutes. This is the longest point I'm going to take today. As I was praying this week and as I was getting ready for today, I felt like if we are going to be who God has called us to be, it cannot be done by yourself. Good place to say amen. It's quiet in here today, all right? Come on, first service. And so we need people in our lives that are going to tell us the truth even when we don't feel like hearing it. Thank you. Amen. All right. Even if it's courtesy, amen, it's fine. All right? It helps. But we need people that are going to love us, tell us the truth. People that are not impressed by you, but can be honest with you. And we need to have the wherewithal within us, the heart and the attitude of humility, to be able to receive when we got those kind of people in our life. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the smartest one in the room. Okay, I'll keep going. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two could defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I immediately became accountable to my pastors in my life, Pastor Matt, Pastor Les, in my life, who were my pastors and looked out for me. Not only was I accountable for my personal life, but I was accountable for how I led people. How many know that's important? Hey, you need to be accountable for how you lead people as well. And it caused me to grow. Caused me to grow in an amazing way as I helped to oversee, 50, 60 students at that time. And here, I wrote this in my notes this week because I truly believe it. That accountability, I believe, places a healthy demand on your life to grow. Because if you don't have people that are in your life that are smarter than you, then you need to run and find some people that are smarter than you. And that'll help you, that will love you, that will mentor you, that will coach you. Come on, that will be with you in the bad times. A friend is never a friend until you go through the worst of your life and if they're still there. Come on. They still hanging with you. They still believing in you. I'm talking about those kind of people that will be in your life, not just for the good times, but also through the bad. Because I feel like, I don't know if you're like me, but there's moments in my life I feel like I have a lot more bad times than good times sometimes. I have a lot of tough weeks and I have more good weeks. Am I preaching to anybody in here today, all right? And so we have those moments, and I think it causes a demand on us to grow. And so the overseers in my life, I just talked to one of them last night for a while and just hanging out, talking a little bit. They keep me accountable. They ask me how I'm doing, how my marriage is doing, how's life, and keep me healthy. Keep me, they love me and they believe in me, and we need that. Proverbs 12:26 says that the righteous choose their friends. The righteous choose their friends. Good job, church. The way of the wicked leads them astray. We are going to meet people by chance, but you need to hear me. We deepen our relationships, though, by choice. You make that decision. You make those choices in your life. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I believe that. Who are you surrounded with? Who is speaking into your life? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Another version says good habits. You can never allow anyone, anything, to take you or to influence you away from God. If you follow Christ, you need friends that love Jesus more than you do. Because, I actually said this on Sunday night. It was just on my heart at our summer nights, that when you have a real conversion with God and a relationship with him, and you have that conversion experience and you come and know him and meet him personally, all of a sudden you don't want to begin to do the things that you used to do. You want what God wants, not what you want anymore. That's a changed life. That's a true conversion experience with God. So you need people who are going to love you, make you better. It's going to tell you the truth. Core strong. You got to have your core strong. You got to have your roots deep so that you can reach wide. Because when your core is strong, you're following Christ. And that way, your spiritual roots then can grow deeper so that your reach can be broad and wide. How many want your reach to touch many lives? Come on, how many want to make a difference in the lives of many people? Amen, everybody? And so when you're surrounded by the right people, you can go into a dark world and let the light of Christ shine. Because if your core is made up of God and the right people, you're going to be able to succeed. But the truth is this: if your core is not made up with the right people, you're going to have wrong voices in your life. People that are negative, people that are telling you you should quit, that you should throw in the towel. And so therefore, your spiritual roots are not deep enough to be able to reach wide. That's why there's a lot of Christians sometimes that go up in the world and get their spiritual butt whooped, because they think that their roots are deeper, and they're not. Their core is what you got to focus on first, your core. And so you don't have the strength to be able to do what God has called you to do, because the core not being strong and your roots not being deep enough, so therefore you can't reach wide. I think what's amazing is that Jesus is the perfect example. Now, I'm going to mess with you. You ready for this? I'm going to mess with your theology. I'm going to mess you up today. Jesus loves everyone unconditionally. Loves everybody unconditionally. Amen? Loves all of us. I'm so glad that he does. But Jesus didn't treat everyone equally. It's amazing. Jesus chose 12 disciples and focused on three of them. Three of them who he spent most of his time with. And I think it's interesting that even the religious ones of his day, which, by the way, I love hanging out in the Gospels, because I love to watch the personality of Jesus come to life. Because when he hung with religious folk, you can just tell, like, they got on his nerves. Like, for reals. Like, you just see it in the scripture. It's so awesome. I'm like, Jesus, you're just so awesome. But anyway, so there he is in the midst of all the Pharisees and Sadducees. I love you all unconditionally, but he kept them at an arm's distance. They thought they knew more than Jesus knew. How'd you like to have been in that day? I mean, come on. Just want to smack them, right? But you can't live the right life with the wrong friends. You've got to understand. So if your friends today are robbing banks, if they're high-ranking officials in organized crime, if they're cooking meth in their kitchen and selling it to sixth graders, it's probably time for some new friends. And here's what I realized today. I realized that's not really what's happening in most people's life, all right? And it's probably not the case. But here's what I believe. Friends don't let friends walk away from God. Some of y'all tweet that. I was thinking about this last night. I thought, man, real friends, now think about this, seriously. Friends don't let friends walk away from God. And we love each other enough to say, man, how are you? Where you at? Man, miss you. What's going on? Is there anything we can pray about? Do you want to get together, grab some coffee? Y'all understand what I'm saying today? The kind of accountability that we need, because the reality is there are influences in your life that may need redefined. Some of you may be having today negative friends, and you're now becoming them. Some of you may be dealing with temptation from some of these things that are not honoring to God. Some may be introducing you to values that are opposed to the values of God. And I'm just here to say, if you are identifying in your life that those things are happening, it may be time to make a decision and start redefining relationships and what they look like. I love how the scripture says, be ye separate from the world. That verse literally means to draw boundaries in your life. That you need to have healthy boundaries that says, you know what? Nope, I ain't gonna go back there, and I'm not gonna do that any longer. That's not who I am. God has changed me. I'm going a different direction. I'm gonna live out the purpose of God, because you can't go that direction with all this junk hanging on you. If you're gonna fulfill the mission that God has for you, your life's gonna have to look different than other normal people. Because you're living a life that's radical, that says, I'm going to be a person that's called to action. Number two is action encourages responsibility. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says to be very careful in how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most. I love this. Another verse to underline. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I feel like I'm learning and continue to learn what it means to take responsibility for influencing others. You and I have influence, whether you like it or not, you have influence in your workplace. You have influence, first of all, in your home, with your families. You have influence in your neighborhood. And we need to take that responsibility and make the most of every opportunity. I love how Sam Williams put it, of evangelism. Sometimes we hear evangelism and it scares us, because we just think it's people dressed in white suits and black leather shoes. But no, we're all called to evangelism. We're all called to evangelize and see people won for Jesus. But I like how he said it. Evangelism is helping people discover how God is already at work in their lives. And I think there's a few places that give as many opportunities to get in the game and be a part of what God is doing than right here at Elevate City Church, from getting connected in small groups to getting connected with our ushers and our greeters, our VIP team, our hospitality, come on, our children's ministry. We have so many opportunities, our worship, our tech and sound, come on, our Servolution team and serve events that are happening. There is opportunities to get in the game and make a difference with your life. And so a lot of times we just allow distractions to come, but we got to stay focused on the mission. And that's why the church is called to be the church. And we are called to be a place of action, because we're not using people to grow the church. We're using the church to grow the people. Amen, everybody. Number three is action call. I love this. Oh man, I love that. I got excited last night on this. You ready? Action cultivates longevity. I'm telling you, this point right here, man, just kind of set the other points. When you have great accountability, when you take responsibility, then you can have longevity. 2 Timothy says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Doing things for God set me up for finishing the race well. Because here's where I was at. You know, a lot of people think, well, man, you knew what God called you to at a young age, and you knew blah, blah, blah. No. Didn't mean I had it all figured out. Issues and challenges and struggles just like everybody else, wondering if I was going to fulfill the call of God. And my life represented Cedar Point roller coasters, baby. It was up and down, constant. But then all of a sudden, I made a decision at a young age, thankful for leaders like a Pastor Matt in my life that helped me to understand the call to action. And when I realized that this life wasn't about me and what I wanted and how I wanted things done, but it was about a life that was serving the Lord and serving people, it began to change some things on the inside of me. Because all of a sudden, I realized that I'm not here for me. I'm here to live out the purpose that God has for my life. And so because I'm here to live out his purpose, things are going to look a little different now. I'm not going to make some of those other decisions that was keeping me from God, because I wanted more of him. I wanted to be a person of action. So all of a sudden, as I was pursuing God and his faithfulness, and I was pursuing my relationship with him, I noticed my life began to come into a place of great consistency. I noticed as you serve God and you're in that place of action, you come into a place of true consistency, and that's what it brought to my life, and I'm thankful for that. Number four is action expands possibility. Or you could put possibilities if you want to. I believe that if we're gonna be in this race for the long haul, we've gotta have these things in our life. If we're gonna be a church that God is looking at and is pleased with, we've gotta understand these things. Ephesians 3:20 says, now glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. The possibilities are endless with God. And I don't think there's anything better in our life than serving Jesus and giving him everything that we have. And just dream. Think about. Let those things stir in your life. Throw that point back up there, if you guys would. Vision without action, we saw, is merely a dream. Action without vision is wasting time, and vision with action can change the world. How many want to be a people, a person, a man, a woman of action in your life? I want to make a difference and live this out for his glory. I want to end it on this verse, and I'm actually going to ask you to participate and help me read this verse. Here we go. Let's put it up there out of Daniel. Here we go. I want you to read it with me. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. Come on, one more time. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. But the people who know their God shall stand firm and call to be a people of action. That's what I'm praying for your life. That's what I'm praying for our church. God, let us be a people that know you, that stand firm and take action. Come on, would you bow your heads right where you're at? Father, I thank you all over this room. I believe today that you are moving, that you are amongst us, that you're pushing on us, challenging us a little bit. But Lord, we're thankful for it because we need it in our lives if we're going to grow. And so, Father, I just speak your strength. I speak your life over us today. I want to give you an opportunity right here in this moment. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, that you can come into this moment right here and make a decision for him. If you found that maybe you're living for yourself and maybe God's just not in the equation at all, I plead with you, I petition you today to make him first in everything. Some of your lives today, you need to make God first again. If you're in a place and you say, God, that's me, I need to make God first again. Slip up your hand right where you're at. Come on, that says, I need to make God first in my life. I need to make God first. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Awesome. Proud of you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. We're going to pray this prayer together. I'm going to have us do something a little different. I want y'all, church, to help me pray. Say, Jesus, I welcome you into my heart today. Change my life. I welcome you, Lord. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Today's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. And I prioritize you as first in my life. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet all over this place and just stay right here in this spirit of prayer? And here's what I want to ask you to do is we just stay right here in the midst of prayer. If you're comfortable with it today, no pressure. If you're comfortable with it, I'm just going to ask you just to lift your hands right where you're at. And this is saying, God, I just surrender my life to you. Everything I am, I surrender my life to you. And I'm going to pray over us today because I'm praying that this is not just another series. It's not just another message. It's not just another Sunday morning. That what I'm feeling and what I have been praying, and I know God is moving. I know he's touching people, but God is sounding an alarm for his church to be the church, to be a people of action, and to show the love of God to the world. And we're going to do that. So God, all over this place, first of all, we surrender to you, oh God. We give you our lives this day. A people broken that need your touch, that need your strength. And Father, I ask you right here in this place for the power of your spirit to come upon us. Let us be a people, God, of action. Let us be a people of action. God, let our words match our walk and our walk match our words in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we surrender everything that we are to you this day. We need you. I speak over us just a boldness to rise up within us, God, in Jesus' name, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we will be confident in the hope. We will be confident in the strength that you have for us. In this day, I'm asking, God, just for you to anoint your people, to empower them, God, only like you can, to help them understand that they can make a difference and that they can reach that coworker who's lost and that family member who needs you, God, and that neighbor, Lord, who's been struggling, God, that you will continue, God, to put people on our hearts. And let us be a people that is sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, I'm asking you this day, we surrender to you. I ask that, God, that you move in our hearts, move in our lives, speak to us, God. Give us dreams, give us visions, God. God, awaken our hearts and awaken our lives to hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this hour. And God, we want to be the church. We want to be who you've called us to be, and that is a people full of action. So God, we honor you this day, and we're careful, God, to give you all the praise and the glory that's due your name. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the days ahead. In Jesus' awesome name.